Along with many other people, I never expected in my lifetime to see a Pope from the United States. You know, one of the things I love about being part of a universal worldwide church is that, you know, we've had popes in recent years from Poland, from Germany, from Argentina. You know, people were speculating about the possibility of getting a pope from Africa or from the Far East. But we do have a worldwide church, which is something beautiful about the Catholic Church. But there's also something special about having a pope who is from somewhere very close to us, just a short distance away in Chicago, you know, who went to Villanova, a name that we all, many of us recognize. And even though he is a White Sox fan, there is something just relatable about someone who's a baseball fan and just, you know, familiar with our culture. So we thank the Lord for providing us with a new shepherd in Pope Leo XIV, and we ask that the Lord bless his ministry and make it very fruitful for the church. I was watching a YouTube clip a few months ago from Charlie Kirk, and you know he's a fairly big name on YouTube. He goes around the college campuses and debates with students, and he's known for having very strong, reasonable arguments for conservative political positions. But he's also a devout Christian, and although he has a respect for the Catholic Church, he is not Catholic, and there's certain issues that he objects to with the Catholic Church, and one of those is the papacy. You know, he believes that every individual should be their own authority on what's true, you know, as if that's going to turn out well. You know, it's like every individual decides how they're going to interpret Scripture and what teachings they believe are the true teachings, that everyone decides that for themselves. Now, I don't think he's ever been exposed to the scriptural and logical arguments for the papacy. But, you know, one of the things that he said in this clip was that, you know, if a pope just makes an infallible statement every few centuries, and that's all that he does, then why do we need a pope? You know, what good is that? And so I want to answer that question. You know, why do we have a pope? Why is it so important? And I could give many answers to that, but I'm going to limit myself to three today for the sake of time. But first, it relates to today's feast day. You know, today we celebrate the feast day of the Good Shepherd, Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd who leads us to eternal pastures. But before he ascended into heaven, because he is a good shepherd, he wanted us to have a physical leader here on earth. He wanted us to have a shepherd so who we can very clearly hear his voice and to carry out certain responsibilities within the church. And so he appointed, before he ascended into heaven, Peter as the chief shepherd of the church. And one of the places we can see that in Scripture is from the Gospel last Sunday, when Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he gave him a threefold command. He said, "Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and feed my sheep." So in a unique way, Jesus was giving to Peter a specific office, which would apply not just to him, but also to his successors, to be the chief shepherd. He's the only apostle that Jesus gave this specific command to. And so that office continues today with Pope Leo XIV, who is the 267th successor to the Apostle Peter. And so we should respect that authority because it's instituted by Christ. That's the way that he designed it. The second point that I would bring up regarding why we have a pope, why do we need a pope, is the pope is a principle of unity for the church. We have over 1.4 billion Catholics worldwide, and there is absolutely no way that there would ever be 1.4 plus billion people united together in one church if there were not a visible head to keep everyone together. And so if we think about teachings, if there were not someone to clarify and define teachings, then every time there was a difference of opinion, there would be a split and a schism within the church. You know, just something like baptism. Can we baptize infants? Some say yes, some say no. They would split. Do you have to use water? Can you use something else to baptize? You'd have a schism. You know, what words do you need to say? Do you need to invoke the Trinity, or can you say in the name of Jesus Christ? There'd be a schism. You know, for every theological issue, there would be a schism and a break in the church, and it would be incredibly fragmented. And governance issues too. You know, if you just think about a parish, who runs a parish? Well, do you have a pastor run a parish, or do you elect people from the parish to run things? You know, how do we decide who makes decisions within a parish? Well, let's have a schism. One group says this, one group says this. If there were no visible head to make decisions about governance and to clarify teaching, there would be no unity within the church. And so the Pope is a principle of unity that holds the flock together. And I was fortunate to see this in a beautiful way at World Youth Day. In 2011, I went to Madrid, Spain, and there were over 3 million young people from all over the world who came together for World Youth Day. And it was just this massive crowd as far as the eye could see. And every group had a flag from their home country. And so you could look across and see flags from all different countries in the world. And it was beautiful to see so many people together in one place. And typically, whenever you get that many people together in one place, it's for a war and they're killing each other. But with the church, we bring people together side by side to worship the true God as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That's the unity that God wants for the human race. And it's brought about through the church. And without the Pope, we don't have that unity. And so one of the important roles of the Pope is a principle of unity for the church. And the third point that I would throw out for why the Pope is important is because of the incredible spiritual and moral authority that the Pope has, being the successor to Peter, appointed by Jesus Christ. And just one historical example of how this can play out. You know, Pope John Paul II visited Poland in the year 1979. Poland had been under communist rule for over 30 years, and there was a severe repression of the Catholic faith. Every Catholic school had been closed by force. Every Catholic charity had been closed and shut down. They estimate 900 priests had been arrested and put on trial and imprisoned, and many, many bishops as well. And so the people of Poland were living in fear. They were hiding the practice of their faith. They had to practice it in secret. And so there was a reign of terror that communism brought to the people of Poland. But that changed in the year 1979 when Pope John Paul II visited. And even though there were rules against it, over 13 million Polish people came out to see Pope John Paul II on his visit. And the message that he was preaching was that Christianity and not Marxism was the path to true human freedom. So it was in direct opposition to the Marxist propaganda. And there was one moment where there was a public mass where over 1 million Polish people had gathered with Pope John Paul II. And for 10 minutes, the people spontaneously began chanting, "We want God." And this was a cry from their hearts that they were opposing and rejecting the communist ideology that they had been oppressed by for over 3 decades. And everyone there and everyone in the whole country could see that after 30 years of communism, they had failed to destroy the faith in the hearts of the people. And so this is just one example of the courage that the Pope can bring about in rallying the people of God because of the moral and spiritual authority that he brings. It can literally change world events. And in this case, more than any other event, it brought down the downfall of communism, both in Poland and throughout all of Eastern Europe. And so today, as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, we thank the Lord for the many ways in which he shepherds us and cares for his people. And especially today for the gift of our Holy Father, the Pope and the papacy, and the unity that that brings to the church throughout the world, and the clarity of teaching and the moral authority that is a gift to the church. And, you know, so we pray that our new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, may shepherd the people of God well, and that Jesus Christ will shine brightly through through his ministry and through him to pierce the darkness of our world and to bring many people to the true faith and to an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ and his church.